Well, it's great to see you tonight. Well, now, tonight I'm going to be sharing something that's very important. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to share with you. Because I actually believe tonight, what I'm going to share with you, out of all the sermons I've ever preached, this probably is one of the most important messages that I've ever preached. It is not as theological as I would normally like to be. It won't be a great deep exposition of scripture, but I know it will be life-changing. I've learned some lessons in my short walk that I've been with Christ and in ministry for some 15, 16 years, and some of the lessons that I've learned and what I'm going to share with you tonight, I actually believe if you could only listen to the Spirit and what God is going to say, it'll change your life. Now, I don't care how long you've been coming to this church. I don't care if you hold a position in the sense of ministry, you're involved in one of the departments. You need to listen to me tonight. Because I believe that the way that a person's life changes is not so much to do with the spiritual as it is to do with the matter of the mind. And I'm going to show you from Scripture. There is more in the Bible about how you think, actually, more about how you think than how much you pray. Yet Christians have fallen into a situation where they, in their minds, believe that it is only through prayer that change happens. Not true. 80% of the change in your life is a direct result of your mindset. How you think. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever known people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but still spoke, thought, and behaved the same way they did before they got saved? I've met some of them. You see, this scenario is not uncommon amongst believers. Many times, certain behaviors are attributed to a person needing a spirit cast out of them, or they need prayer to change them. But the reality is that the issue is that they need their minds renewing and changing. And that's why many people will come out in a prayer line and be prayed for, and there'll be prayer, but they go away and they come back a week later for counseling. Pastor, nothing's changed. Pastor, things are still the same. See, if you've done what you've always done, then you'll get what you've always got. And it's about changing your mind. Now, this isn't psychology. There is, of course, within Scripture, an element of psychology, because psychology is the study of the soul, which is the mind of man. And the Bible tells us that we are to renew our minds. The Bible tells us we are to have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart or mind, so is he. So the Bible has plenty to say about how you think. Mind renewal. Listen to the word. Mind renewal is the key to living a successful life as a Christian. People will say, is there such thing as a successful Christian life? It's a bit of an oxymoron, because when you look at the success of Christ, he was crucified, yet in his crucifixion, he wrought redemption and salvation, and he rose again from the dead. I think that's quite successful. But mind renewal is the reason why you, as a believer, may not be experiencing the fullness of God and the goodness of God in your life. It is because of wrong decisions that have been birthed out of wrong thinking that have resulted in you doing things that are not in alignment with God's word, that have resulted in your life turning out the way that it has. If we were to live our lives according to God's word and his instruction and his statutes, then our lives would be blessed. Now, you don't look too convinced, but let me just try this one on you tonight. How many of you believe that God wants you to be blessed? Okay, the rest of you who didn't put your hand up, you just stay miserable, that's fine. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that to do with? The mind. If you walk in the counsel, what is counsel? It's the mind. So if we walk in the ways of the world's thinking, in ungodly thinking, in fleshy thinking, then we will get what we think. Now, this isn't some kind of faith, word, prosperity preaching. This is biblical. You have what you think. What you think about yourself is important. What you think about other people is important. What you think about life is important. What you think about God is important. So if you have stinking thinking, you will have a stinking life. But if you have godly thinking, then you will have a godly, goodly life. Please stay with me tonight because this is very, very important. And I know the new year's began, but this message needs to set the tone for where we're going and for you as an individual as well. Now, as a pastor and a counselor for many years, I have encountered numerous people who struggle with addictions privately, whether it be pornography, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, or whether it be any other sort of addiction, and they cannot break the habits that they had before they became Christians, and they seem trapped and they seem alienated and struggle to break free from the cycle that the enemy seems to have ensnared and entrapped them. And they've been to conferences and they've been to the great prophet. They've been to the anointed man of God. They've had more hands laid on them than anything else, and still there is no change. Because the issue is not a spiritual one, it is a mind issue, which is more spiritual than you realize. People live in torment because they know that what the things that they're doing are wrong, are against the word of God, but they just can't seem to break free or to stop. For them to change, it seems like an unattainable goal. I just can't do it. Whenever I see someone who is born again, but is actively engaged in a lifestyle or a habit that goes against the word of God, I immediately know their mindset is the problem. After 16 years of counseling people, when they're sat in front of me, most of the people I have seen, the issues that they're struggling with is not an issue of demonic activity, spiritual oppression. It's more to do with a mindset that they have. You see, you have to change your way of thinking to line up with what God says about every situation. For example, if you are sick and you have a terminal illness, which can happen to anybody in this building tonight, and we do have people in our church who do have terminal illnesses, we do not speak out or think to ourselves, I am going to die of this illness. We speak the word of God that says, this sickness is not unto death. We believe in our minds what God's word says, that Jesus Christ is the divine healer. And we choose rather to believe the truth of Scripture than our present circumstances. That is the mind of the spirit. The mind of the flesh is to acknowledge what the sickness is and accept it and believe in your mind that you will die of that sickness. Yet the Bible says in the book of Psalms that this sickness is not unto death, but it's how you think. It's how you think. This concept doesn't only work within the context of Christians. Because it is a biblical concept, it is a God concept, it even works outside of the Christian world. Successful people understand this principle, and it works. You may say, well, can God use non-Christian people if they follow biblical patterns? Yes, he did with Cornelius and his family, who weren't Christians, and they were tithing, and they were blessed of God, because they gave to the work of God. It's a mindset. And when I see people who are born again, and their lives are opposite to what the Word of God says, and they wonder why they struggle, they wonder why they're depressed, why they're lonely, why they feel as if they have no friends, why they feel an outcast, it's because of the way that you think. If you sit in your bedsit and you think nobody loves you and you think that nothing's ever going to change and you're not going to have any friends and you're never going to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or you're never going to have any money or you're never going to pass your driving test or you're never going to have a car, if you start thinking like that, that is exactly what you will get. You will get what you think. Now you may say, Pastor, this is a psychological thing. Yes, it is. The Bible tells us that, you see, in our souls, if we're healthy in our souls, which is our mind, we will prosper even as our soul prospers. So you prosper in your soul. That's why we sing the hymn, "It is well with my soul." If it's not well with your soul, your life is a living hell. That is a reality. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. Turn there together, Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at Scripture. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word. Amen. That His Word can help us tonight and these monthly meetings on a Saturday night, I am going to be unpacking a lot of these things because I feel these are essential to a number of areas in our lives because I want people to be free. Galatians chapter 5, the whole of this chapter is dealing with freedom in Christ. That's what Paul is trying to convey to the church at Galatia. It's a church that's been planted. They're Christians, new Christians. Some of them were Jews, and Paul is trying to explain to them the freedom that they have in Christ. But let's look at verse 16 for a moment. Chapter 5 and verse 16, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You may have a different one tonight, but it pretty much says the same. And then in verse 16 then. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Your Bible may read it a little bit like this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because within this walk, there is a conflict of the spirit and the flesh. And your mind decides whether or not it's going to walk in the flesh or whether it's going to walk in the spirit. And for the Christians who walk in the flesh, where things always seem to go wrong, where there is no blessing, there is no peace, there is no abundant life, there is no goodness of God, they look at the Christian who is walking in the Spirit, who is being blessed and generous and enjoying the journey, and I've got an abundant life, and God is blessing them so that they can be a blessing. They look and they stay here, and they look at that, and they'll criticize, and they'll judge, and they'll malign, but all they have to do is change their way of thinking. You can't expect to walk in the flesh and receive the goodness of God. You've got to choose to walk in the Spirit, because the two are contrary one to another. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's the problem. Most of you are trying to fight the flesh rather than walking in Spirit. You don't fight the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. That's what the scripture says. You don't fight the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. So your mind is renewed by the word. So when I wake up in the morning, my mind has to be filled with the word. My mind, my thoughts have to be filled with the word. First scripture of the day to walk in the Spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice even though I've got to go to work and I've got to put up with those miserable people. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't care if no one else is rejoicing. That's their problem. And I'm not allowing their problem to rub off on me. I want my blessing and rejoicing to rub off on them. It's a choice. It's a mindset. You can't dictate circumstances. Life will hand you all kinds of issues and obstacles and struggles and difficulties, but you have a choice. You can choose either to deal with it walking in the flesh, or you can do it by walking in the Spirit. See, first, from this scripture, we must understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. Pastor, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's interesting, the word walk is used, not standing still. The word walk is used. It's a progressive thing. You never stay the same. There's change involved. It doesn't say stand in the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen that and thought, I've never thought of that, Pastor. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Because it is a progressive thing. And so is your mindset. It's progressive. It changes all the time. That's why it's important what you watch, who you listen to, what you listen to, what you choose to listen to. See, if I as a pastor constantly listen to gossip and rumor and people saying things about other people, it fills my mind, it affects my heart, and it affects the way I walk. Rather than going, thank you, reception is closed. What does it mean? When we walk in the Spirit, we have a mindset that lines itself up with God's word. It is thinking that is sound and subjected to God's way of doing things. Walking in the flesh is the exact opposite. To walk in the flesh means to have a way of thinking that goes against the word of God. For example, A fleshly mindset is one that believes it can do as it pleases, contrary to what God's word says. Walk in the flesh is. Believe you can just do what you want against God's word, and it doesn't matter. That is walking in the flesh, not walking in the spirit. Let me just mention a couple of things here. Have you met anybody that has what I call a poverty mentality? Let me just give you a little cameo of a man in the Bible who this happened to. His name was Elijah. God was blessing him. He was a prophet. And God was blessing him mightily. And then all of a sudden, something happened that changed his thinking about God. What happened was, there was a woman called Jezebel who sent word to the prophet that she was going to kill him. And the Bible says in the particular passage in the book of Kings, and I think it's chapters 15 and 16, it actually says there that when the word came, Elijah saw what Jezebel had said. Notice the word that's used. Jezebel, when she sent word to the prophet, Elijah saw what was said. In other words, what was spoken became a picture in his mind. Instantly, he'd forgotten about the power of God. He'd forgotten about the greatness of God. And he ran and sat under a juniper tree. And this is what he says. Lord, just let me die. Just let me die. Here's this man, great power, great anointing, great authority, wiping out the enemies of God, sitting under a tree, saying it'd be better if I just died. All because of a word from one woman. Sorry, ladies. One word from one woman that became a picture that put fear in him. And watch this carefully. When fear entered his heart, it became a picture. He feared for his life. And as soon as you fear, you stop walking in the spirit. When you fear, you begin to walk in the flesh. Because you fear what is about to happen in your own imagination. You fear what could be. You fear all the things that God is not wanting to do in your life. You fear it'll happen to you. You've got to step out of the flesh and walk in the spirit and have the mind that says, no, God wants to bless my life. God has forgiven me. He's washed me in his blood. He has a plan for my life. I'm not leaving this earth yet because I have got a job to do for Jesus. Hallelujah. But it's a choice of the mind. When you set your mind to do something, you'll do it. I am a great believer that this biblical pattern of mindset and mind renewal works. Some years ago, I entered a competition. It was a boxing match. If you've not been on our website, you will find the video of me in training. And I set my mind for 6 months of training to do a boxing match, which was to raise money for an orphanage in the Philippines in front of 300 people in the Burlington Hotel. Ring walk, music going and everything. My nickname was Preacher Boy. They even wrote a song as I walked into this arena. I won't say too much, but I lost the fight on points, but I think I was robbed. But let me tell you something. For 6 months, my mind was consumed with that one event, that one night of just 9 minutes of my life. For 6 months, my mind was trained. I was eating food that I didn't like. I would run every morning. I would go to the gym every night. I would train myself and discipline myself. My mind wasn't allowed to think about anything other than the fight. I go to bed at night, I'd be dreaming about the fight. I'd be dreaming that I was Rocky Marciano. I'd be dreaming that I was going to win the fight, how I was going to throw a jab and open him up with an uppercut. I had it all going on in my mind. I saw it was consuming my mind. Now watch this principle. The principle is this. My mind was consumed with something that I was preparing for. And so I was disciplined in every single area. Now, 10 o'clock at night, match of the day was on. It was a Saturday night. It was the night, a week before the fight. I had been strict in every area. No shortcuts. No Chinese. No takeaways. No pizza. No chocolate. It was pasta and chicken and rabbit food and muesli, which looked like stuff out of a pigeon coop. But one night, as I lay on that sofa, I heard a voice coming from the fridge. And it spoke to me. And this particular voice is one of my most favorite things. It's a chocolate Mars bar ice cream. And I could hear it in the third tray of the freezer, in a box of six, speak to me. And this is what it said to me. You know you want me. Come and get me. Nobody will know I'm all yours. I lay on that settee, and my mouth started to water as the very thought of a Mars bar ice cream melted in my mouth. I had not tasted chocolate for 6 months. I don't know why I did it. My mind said no, but my legs just got up and walked to the freezer. And I found myself in the freezer, and I took out the Mars bar, and I opened it, and I put it in my mouth, and it just was absolutely beautiful. And because at this stage, because now I'd already broken the golden rule of discipline, in other words, I'd already committed the sin, I thought, well, I'm in now, I might as well do the whole box. And that's exactly what I did. And that's probably why in the third round of that fight, I lost the fight. Who knows? All because of a Mars bar. What am I trying to say to you? It's an illustration. You see, the flesh will often speak to you to do things. You have to choose to walk in the Spirit and stay focused and disciplined in alignment with God's word. You know, this poverty mentality, can we come back to this for a moment? Let me say something to you. When we talk about a poverty mentality, we're not talking about financially. We're talking about how you think. People think poor. And Jesus came to change that. Remember the scripture says, the gospel is good news to the poor. Because he wanted to change people's poverty mentality. When it came to what they thought about themselves, what they thought about God, what they thought about life and afterlife. He wanted to change their thinking. The biggest act of redemption on the cross, the divine exchange, was to change people's way of thinking. You see, this poverty mentality, it's an attitude that never expects anything above and beyond its current reality. People with a poverty mindset are content and satisfied with lack, insufficiency, even when it is clearly destroying their lives. And they'll accept it. This is their catchphrase. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No! Not whatever will be, will be. I choose to believe what God's word says. I choose to believe the promises of God. For all the promises in him are yes and amen. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't want to believe, and you don't want to think that God's got something better for you, you get exactly what you've just thought. Seven years ago, I was in Houston preaching at a church called River of Life. Andrew Willis was the pastor there. And down the road was the church that is famously known as Lakewood Church, pastored by Joel Osteen. And of course, I'd seen this smiling preacher on the television, as most of you have. And I thought, I want to go and see this building. I want to go and see this church. I had a team with me that were traveling as part of a ministry team that I took with me as part of an apprenticeship that they were on. And I took them. We went to the building. We were welcomed into the building. We went into the reception area. We were talking with some of the receptionists in the offices as they were showing us the plans, because this was the Saturday before the opening. The opening was on a Saturday night. We were there in the daytime. I was preaching Sunday at this other church. The offices were open. They were in there. They were showing us the plans. As we were in the office, a white Lexus pulled up outside. And out of the car stepped the smiling preacher, Joel Osteen, and his wife, Victoria. They walked into the office. They said, hi. He smiled. Hi, guys. Where are you from? Geez, great to see you. As he does. Told him where we were from. He was pastoring Renewal at the time in Solihull. And he said, would you guys like a tour of the facility? Our first grand night of opening is tonight. We'd love to have you as our guests. We had nothing else to do on a Saturday night. The church was opening. We didn't know too much about their theology, but we were very impressed with what God had done with the size of the building. We were taken round this auditorium. It must have taken an hour and a half as we were taken up and around the huge auditorium that seated somewhere around 18,000 people. I was given a third row seat. I was sat next to a preacher called R.W. Schambach, an old Pentecostal preacher. And his son was next to him. And I was sat there. And Joel Osteen said something that has stuck with me. And it's part of this message, really, about mentality and thinking. He tells the story of how he was driving one day in a car with somebody who was a friend. And they drove past this beautiful house, beautiful home. And Joel Osteen's friend turned to him and said, I could never imagine myself living in a house like that. And Joel Osteen turned around and said to him, you never will. He says, what do you mean? If you can't believe it, you will never receive it. Now, you may take issue with that with me doctrinally. Yet, biblically, it is absolutely accurate. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not only what you become, but also what you have. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Not so that you can walk around like a pompous, arrogant, I'll stop there. But so that you can help other people. Because remember, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for other people. See, if I'm worse off than you, how can I help you? Spiritually, materially, in any way. You can only be led as far as I am. And so, the principle of this poverty mentality is very important. Very important. Now, we don't go to the extreme in this church. Some people just eat far too much cheese and they dream up all kinds of ideas of grandeur, you know. and think they're going to be the next Billy Graham and they're going to be driving Rolls Royces around, you know, Cumbran. No, that's not reality. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about a mentality that produces things in the natural out of the spiritual. Because God spoke into nothing and brought about something out of nothing by the... Bible says he spoke the word and it came into being. What are you speaking? What's coming out of your mouth? Now listen, on the issue of death, right? You won't beat death, but you will. Because we'll all die one day. We'll all die one day. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we don't die. Because if we're in Christ and if you're a Christian, you leave this life and you are resurrected to the new life. If you're not a Christian, you won't. You'll be resurrected and you'll go to eternal damnation, a place called hell, which some churches won't tell you about because they think it's not nice or seeker-friendly because we don't want to put you off church. I'm telling you tonight, as a preacher of the gospel, if you reject Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. And God would that nobody would go there. That's why he sent his son to the cross to die, so that nobody should go to hell, but that all should come to the knowledge of a Savior. That's the good news, the gospel. People with a poverty mindset are content and satisfied with lack and insufficiency, and they mourn all the time, they complain all the time, everything is wrong, and nothing is going well, and everything's going bad, and everything is... Look around you. Every day above ground is a good day. Thank God you got your legs, your breath, your lungs, your feet, your hair, your nose. Thank God for everything that you've got. You are blessed. You are blessed. Oh, Lord, it's hard tonight. You are blessed. You are blessed. Oh, but Pastor, I heard the gospel through this week. And I ain't being funny. They've increased my direct debit. You're blessed. You're lucky to have gas piped into your house. Some of you are old enough to remember when you didn't have it. Trevor, anyway. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but... You know, people with a poverty mentality normally hang around with people with the same mentality. Some of us have done it. Here's one, right? Right. You fall out with me. You don't like what I'm saying. You don't like me. You'll find someone else in the church. I'll find you. I'll punch you anyway. In love, then pray for you. But and then you find someone else, and they find someone else, and then... And you get chatty and, oh, you know, he's doing this and he's like this. And as far as I know, that doesn't happen in this church. Because if it does, I'll come knocking your front door. Because we don't backbite, baby. We front bite. And so, but you'll surround yourself with people. That's what happens. And until you break away from those people, because you're walking in the flesh, when you break away, and sometimes some of you have had to leave other churches. Some of you come from other churches. You've left other churches because of that. And you've come here and you've been with Victory Church now for quite a while. And you know, you're loving and enjoying all that stuff. You needed to do that because where you were, your surroundings were wrong. Because it was negativity. I was so shocked to learn from leaders that we as a church have been the subject of conversations of pastors and leaders in their elders' meetings about Victory Church. Why aren't they talking about rescuing souls rather than criticizing Victory Church? Because this is a work of God and it ain't going anywhere. And I am not apologizing anymore. Ah, you're stealing sheep. Sheep cometh. Hallelujah. Why? Because my mindset. God said to me, preach the Bible, people will come. Preach the gospel, people will get saved. In 12 months, we baptized 98 people. That is phenomenal. Next year, the next 12 months, I want to baptize over 250 people. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? No, you see, it's a mentality. It's a mentality. If I think, oh, well, you know, we'll just get four or five, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's what you're believing for, that's what you'll get. I'm going to plant a church and I'm believing I'm going to have 40 people. That's what you'll get. That's why I've said to you, especially our Sunday congregation here, I say to you, that, folks, listen, I shared with you the vision where we're going. We're going to break the mentality in Wales that says there can be no mega church. There was a time when God's plan prophetically was in place for Wales to have a mega church. Some things happened in the spiritual realm that distracted and delayed that plan. But God has not forgotten his promise to Wales. And he will once again raise up a remnant and a church of people in their thousands. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, please, if you're from a smaller congregation tonight and we get people that visit us, you're not doing anything wrong. That's not what you're called to do. Maybe it's because that's what God wants you to do, and that's good. Small is beautiful. But somewhere, someone, somebody has to have something that is smashing the kingdom of darkness, breaking open in political realms, having social influence in all the towns, cities, and villages, so that when people look at the church and think, that church up there, they've got some power. We've got to be a powerhouse. But it doesn't come by poverty mentality. It comes with every single one of you believing God's word. Believe in every promise in him is yes and amen. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that is why a lot of people have a poverty mentality, is because they don't have the knowledge. They don't understand what I'm saying. You don't get it. Which is why we must read the Bible, obtain knowledge from God's word that can be applied to our lives every day. The church in the Bible grew in thousands. I heard a stupid comment. I get lots of them anyway. Sometimes I say them. Someone said, it's not about big churches. Jesus only had 12. He started with 12. He ain't done bad since, has he? Hello? He started with 12. Yes, he did. Look around the world. There are millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions upon millions of us that are more Christians than there are Muslims, that are more Christians than there are Buddhists, that are more Christians than are Sikhs, that are more Christians than there are Jews, that are more Christians than are there any other religion. Christianity is the biggest religion in the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. That's why. That's why. Bible is still the best-selling book in the world, translated in more languages than any other book. Hallelujah. And it's to be trusted and not dusted. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. Let me tell you something. In South Wales, that's exactly what he's doing in churches. That's why the pews are empty. Because he's come in. He's a thief, he's a liar, to rob, to steal, and to destroy. And he's destroying congregations. Destroying congregations. People think you're talking off the top of your head when you talk like this. No, he is out to destroy churches. He is out to destroy congregations. Families, headship, leadership, pastors, leaders. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. But this is what it says. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Oh, I don't know about you, but if God says to me, Richard, I've saved you from drugs and prison and all that, then you know, you were from a poor working class family, you never had anything, and I want to save you, I want to forgive your sin, I want to bless you, and I want to give you an abundant life. I want to bless you, I want to give you a family, I want to give you a home, I want to give you a job, I want to give you all these things. I just want to bless you. I ain't going to go, nah, you're all right. I mean, I'm signing up for the abundant life. I want God's best for my life. I don't want to settle for insufficiency and lack and poverty mentality. I want to be living the abundant life. Well, I'm happy with my black and white portable TV, you know, all these. I'm not talking about the material thing. I'm trying to get the mentality. No, I want a 52-inch HD plasma with the smells, the bells, and surround sound. So when I'm in my living room, it's like the View cinema. Hallelujah. Some of you don't look so humble because you're sitting there and you've already got it. Do you know what it is? Or you're scared to share the goodness of God with people because of what people think. So why align yourselves with poverty mentality? Why not walk round to them and give them your plasma TV? Hello? See, poverty involves lack. It's a lack in every area of your life. Now you say, see, Pastor Richard, but what about the poor countries? I've been to them, I've preached in them. They're the most happiest people that I've ever met. And they've never even seen a plasma. But they lack nothing. They lack nothing. It is well with their soul. Folks, we've got some choices to make. When lack and poverty govern the way we think, our outer circumstances will reflect that inward state of being, and we will make choices that only push us further into poverty. You know, I said to you about the building here. We need to raise about £6,300 to put a suspended ceiling in here. Now, I could quite easily, knowing that our offerings will not make that, I could quite easily think, forget it, it ain't going to happen. You know, we're never going to raise £6,300. We've been going 2 years. We're just about paying the rent on the building. We're trying to pay Pastor Kenny. We haven't got there yet. I could easily think we ain't going to do it. But I am believing God that we're going to do it. I don't care if you believe, or even if you don't give. Keep your stinking money. I don't want it. There's not many preachers say that, is there? They normally say, give it. Well, I'm trying to work on some reverse psychology. That's what's happening. But my point is this. I've got to believe God. I can say, yes, we're going to have it. Yes, we're going to have the best children's work in the whole of Wales. I'm not doing it in competition with anybody. I'm doing it so that the kingdom of God can be expanded, so that God's name can be glorified in South Wales. See, there's no doubt when you're living in blessing, people want to know you. Over the last few months, I don't know why, a lot of people who are not Christians, but they're business people, very, very professional people and very wealthy people, I've got to know them. They're not drug dealers, but they're business people. They have lots of properties. In fact, one gentleman has over 100 properties, and we become friends. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a vicar. We talk. We chat. And it's as if God has opened up doors to a realm of people that actually, from my background, from where I've come from, that I should never be mixing with. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they have a different mentality completely. And actually, some of these people, sometimes you speak to them, they're more generous than Christians. And their businesses are being blessed. Huh? How does that work then? Because it's a biblical principle. If you are generous and you are kind, what you sow, you'll reap. That ain't me or some American preacher promising you the earth. That is what the Bible says. Here's another one. You have not because you ask not. Counseling people. Pastor, have you asked God? No. Well, go away and ask him then, you clown. You bothering me for? See, your mind holds tremendous creative ability. If you think of the advancement in technology today, over the last 100 years, it is phenomenal. All from the mind of a man or woman. Think about it. Whoever thought that you could have a phone that wasn't connected with a wire, that was plugged in, that you had to turn the dial. Anybody remember those? And you had to wait for it to go all the way back. It's a good job mobile phones weren't about. You'd be there forever in those days, wouldn't you? But not only that, we were amazed when the first mobile phones came out. I think mine was a Nokia 8210 or something. It was like a house brick. It was like a... You were like, talking to people. And you thought you were cool walking down the street. Yeah, all right, mate, what's happening? And really, you look like a right clown. And then texting. Texting was mind-blowing. It was, wow, I can actually text you. I can send you a message by text. That's amazing. Now we're just like... And some people, they're skilled at it. They can have their phone like that, not even look at it like that. Send. But watch predictive texting because things can come out wrong. I know from experience. And I can't say nothing about that. Or I will be in trouble. The advancement in technology. Think about it. The iPad. You all know what the iPad is, yes? Hands up, you know what the iPad is? Yeah, the iPad. He's going at the back there, look. Sit down here on the iPad. You can access all the Bibles you want. You can visit any country in the world. You can find out what the weather is like in Alicante, which can be very depressing when you're sat in Cumbran. You can find out everything about me. You Google my name, Richard Taylor. I'm all over it. Technology has advanced because of knowledge. Because the mind is creative and very powerful because it is something that God has given us. And God wants us to use our minds to be creative in the kingdom so that we can increase the kingdom of God. So that his kingdom, as we pray, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. What's it like in heaven? Tell me, what does the Bible say it's like in heaven? Shout out at me. Streets are what? Paved with? And we're praying that his kingdom would come on earth as in heaven, not just in the sense of material, but also in authority and power over sickness and disease, because there is no sickness in heaven. There is no disease in heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There is no tears in heaven. And we're praying his kingdom come. But this is the problem. And some of you still, after listening to this message tonight, you walk out of these doors and you still have a poverty mentality. You put stuff on Twitter. No. You put stuff on Facebook. You put stuff on all the different social networks that are out there. And you let people know. All you're doing is confessing poverty. Start speaking the goodness of God into your life. Start speaking about the good things that God is. God, you're good to me. God, right now I'm struggling. Nothing's working out. It's all a mess. But you know what? You love me. And that's all that matters right now. He loves me. And so if nobody else loves me, God loves me. Nobody else can save me. Nobody else can get me into heaven. Only God can. So as long as God loves me, I don't care. Reception is closed. The carnal mind is walking in the flesh. The carnal mind is walking in the flesh. Too often, Christians suffer from stinking thinking. You do. It's a phrase, stinking thinking. You'll see their life and you think, well, I'm not being funny to you. I'm not being... Love, listen to me. You're mourning about your life, but what you're doing is contrary to the Bible. So if what you're doing is contrary to the Bible and you know it's wrong and you're continuing to do it, what do you expect? I mean, hello? Wake up. You can't be doing things that are contrary to the word of God and expect to walk into God's presence and be blessed and everything's going well. It doesn't work like that. You've got to change your way of thinking. You've got to bring your mind in alignment with the word of God. And start believing what God's word says. When I was in Bible school, after I left Swansea Prison, I graduated to another prison. For 3 years, the time I was there was interesting because some of the lecturers were questioning the authority of Scripture. And I watched Christians, Pastor Andrew, you studied with me. We watched Christians lose their faith and backslide when they began to doubt this book. And they walked away from God. And today, they are nowhere. True? And how I survived Bible school, only the Lord knows. And some of you, oh, I want to go to Bible school. No, you don't. Get into the school of the word this year. That's why we have the academy. And I'd encourage you, next year, if you're not on our academy, you need to get on to our academy. You need to be in there. Oh, but I can't. You need to. It's not nothing to do with your time or your money. It's to do with your own spiritual well-being. You need to be there getting into the word of God. Twice a week, studying the Bible for hours on end. Getting into the word. The word getting into you. Raising this stupid poverty mentality. Releasing you from the bondage of the enemy. So you can live in the goodness of God for your life. And I know there are people in the academy that can testify tonight how powerful it's been in their lives in the last 11 months we've had when we start back this next week. Is it next week it starts back? You've all had your letters. And those first years, we're going to have a second year that's going to be available, which is going to be slightly different as well. And then new first year intakes as well. All about getting into the word. Getting into the word. See, some of you, let me just talk to you for a minute. Some of you, you see, you allow the devil to get into your life too easy. You give him a foothold because you doubt this. You doubt God's goodness. You actually doubt God's faithfulness. You'll tell me, Pastor, no, I don't. You do. You do, because when testing times come, you don't believe. And that's where we're encouraged by Scripture. That's when we're to stand firm. That's when we're to walk in the Spirit. Like Abraham, who's so old, and God said to him, I'm going to give you a child. And the Bible says it like this. Abraham considered not his body or his age, but in faith believed the promises of God. He could have gone, you know what, God? I'm too old. There's more energy in a bottle of Lucozade. I'm too old. But he chose rather not to accept his condition, but rather believe the promise of God. And that is a mentality. And you've got to have that mentality. If you want to change your life, you need to change your mind. If you want to change your life, you need to change your mind. Sure. Or we pray for you. Man, we'll counsel you, we love you, we bless you, whatever. But you need to change your mind. You see, if what happened to you before is in your mind and you think it's going to happen again, guess what will happen? It'll all happen again. But you've got to say, no, not this time. Not this time. I belong to Jesus. Not this time. Because I'm different. I've learned some things. I've been through some stuff. I've had to fight some battles. I've had to clear some hurdles. I've had to come through some dark times. And I've been through there. And I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, convinced that He is able to keep me. No matter what the enemy throws against me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, reception is closed. You want to change your life? You need to change your mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the anointing of your Spirit. Thank you for the authority of your word. Thank you for the encouragement tonight to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And choose rather to believe that you want to bless us. You want to do good things in our lives. Submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. Submit to what? Submit to his word. Submit to his word. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. God says, if you be this, you can have that. God says, if you do that, I'll give you this. That's what his word says. That's the submission. If we submit, then resist the devil, then he will flee. Some of you are trying to resist, but you're not submitting. That's the problem. You are trying to resist without submitting. You can't do it because that's the flesh. You can't do it. The flesh man, the nature, the carnal nature. You can't do it. You've got to walk in the Spirit. All begins in the mind. You've got to change. Even after this meeting right now, as we're praying, you can say, you know what? I'm going to leave Victory Church tonight, wherever you come from. If you're part of our church here, what the matter, it means not just where you're from. And you could say, you know what? I'm going to change the way I think. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. For it is no longer I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ who lives in me. The hope of glory. Father, right now, I pray that you would take the seed of your word tonight, not only plant it in the soil of your children's hearts, but allow that seed to take root. And for there to be a change of mind in people's lives tonight. I pray in the name which is above every other name, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, the name that is greater than any king, president, prime minister, any great ruler, past, present, or future, the name which is above them all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. We can change our worlds. Church, we can change our worlds if we just change our thinking. We can change our worlds if we change our thinking. Just feel led by the Spirit. Message is over, but to pray for the sick tonight. If you're here and you have an illness in your body and you're sick, the pastors and the prayer team are going to be at the front. We're going to pray for you tonight. Believe God's word. And I want you to change your mind. Your mind that says, oh, I've been out to the front. I've had pastor come and pray for me. I've been anointed with oil from Jerusalem. I've had it all and nothing's changed. Change your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind. And say, Jesus, you are my healer. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my strong tower. You're my provider. You're my father. What father does not want to give good gifts to his children? Some of you have done it at Christmas. Things you could and couldn't afford. You just want to bless your kids. You bless them with stuff. You spend a fortune. Within an hour, they've forgotten about it and they're kicking a stupid flat football outside that's been there for 15 years. Change the way you think. As Dave plays right now, if you need prayer tonight, the rest of you can remain seated. I'm going to make a spectacle. I want you to pray if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian here tonight, you can give your life to Jesus Christ. You can change your mind about the way you think about God because he loves you. He died on a cross for you to pay the price for your sins so that you could give your life to him. So you could know freedom. Now, I'm not praying, and we're not praying for people tonight to break cycles, habits, addictions. No. Because some of that, as I've told you, 80% of that is to do to change the way you think. I'll give you an example. Well, Pastor, I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to alcohol. Okay, we can pray for you. You'll still go out, down the off license, and buy drink. Or you can make a decision tonight to say, you know what? I ain't going to drink anymore. And don't walk into an off license or a bar or a pub and drink any more beer. That is miraculous advice. Did you get what I'm saying? It's a decision. It's a choice. Like the choice I had with the Mars bar. I could have resisted, but I didn't. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. But we want to pray for people who are sick tonight, okay? So if the pastors can come and join me up here. Those of you who need prayer, maybe you want to stand in the gap for someone who is sick, okay? And the prayer team as well. A family, a loved one, someone who knows in hospital. You want prayer for them. We pray for you in Jesus' name. You come now and we will pray for you, okay? Let's all stand together to make it easier for some of you to come. You've been sitting long enough. Let's stand together. The pastors will pray with you.
Thank you for listening. For more messages from Victory Church and information on our many weekly services, visit victorychurch.co.uk.